appreciate the singing this morning. What a blessing it's been to my heart. I do appreciate Miss Christie playing and filling in for Miss Roberta, doing such a wonderful job. And like I said, kind of taking one for the team, and just appreciate being in prayer for her. Boy, the Lord gave us a good vacation Bible school this week, and what a blessing to see 13 children get saved, and but also to average, you know, about 140 kids each night, and that's without the workers. That's a crowd now. And appreciate all the hard work that went into it. Brother Brandon and the whole team did a great job. And that's just amazing. And the Lord is good. Amen. It's good to see the Keevers with us this morning. And here down from that great state of Missouri. Sort of. It's good to have them with us this morning. What a blessing they've been to our church over the years. And one of our best Sunday school superintendents we ever had, Miss Keever. And I mean that, Miss Keever. I appreciate you, Brother Keever. I'm teasing them a little bit, but it's a blessing to have them here this morning, and good to have the crowd we have. We have a guest speaker this morning, and I was intended on having left for with camp with the rest of the crowd this morning, but want to stay for the funeral tomorrow. And so, but I've asked Brother Wiggins, as our associate pastor, he's really not a guest speaker. I've asked him several months ago to speak this morning, and I know he's prepared and ready to go. And like he says, it's kind of unusual for us to be here on the same Sunday, him actually preaching while I'm here. So I'm anxious. I'm ready for this. And I'm ready to go. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's be in prayer for Brother Wiggins. Brother Wiggins, you come on and speak to us.
Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Got to take all of my illustrations I was going to use with Brother Crawford out, my sermon. So we're down to about a page of notes now. He told me, he said, I'm going to be there. I'm like, oh no, I'm supposed to be gone. Amen. It's more nerve-wracking when your pastor's staring at you. Amen. So if you hear him mumbling up here, you're fired. You'll know I messed up somewhere in the sermon. Amen. I appreciate you being here this morning. Matthew chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 1. And really, I told Pastor last week, I've been studying for a couple weeks on this, and Pastor preached last Sunday, and I was like, wow, that's kind of what I was going to preach. And so it's part B of last Sunday morning's message. And so it's just amazing how the Lord puts those things together. But in Matthew chapter 4, you'll see the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, unless thou at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 7 says, and Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, I think it's amazing that the Creator is being tempted by His creation. You know, aren't you glad that He was Jesus Christ and not me and you? Because I would have busted the devil in the nose right there and said, I built all of this. Amen? But here's what the Lord said. Notice what He says here. He says in verse, He wanted him to fall down and worship Him. But verse 10 said that Jesus said unto him, give thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Aren't you glad for it is written? Amen. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. And other portions of Scripture in Mark chapter 1, and also in Luke, it talks about the devil leaveth him for a season. It means he's coming back. You know, I was thinking about this as I was studying why was our Lord put through this? And we know the Bible says that He was tempted in all points like as we, but yet without sin. And I believe the reason that the Lord did this was not by accident. I don't believe the devil conjured this up. But the Bible says in verse 1, it says he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, knowing that it was the will of God for Jesus to go through what he was going to go through this day. But I believe that this portion of Scripture is far more greater than we give it credit for, because I believe the Lord is teaching us how to deal with the devil. And I'll preach on that subject this morning, how to deal with the devil. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and Lord, we ask you to help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Some people say the devil's like a bug. You can spray, but they'll keep coming back. And I believe he's that way. You can go through trials and tribulations that the devil's going to come and tempt you. But I want to tell you this morning, he's going to keep coming back. And you got to keep fighting, and you got to keep fighting the good fight of faith. We see the devil comes, and of course, we know that Jesus is our great example, as he gives us an example in John chapter 13, verse 15. If you write that down later on, it talks about he was our example. He washed the disciples' feet. And when he stood up, he said, I did this as an example. Now, he was not giving an example that we ought to be foot washers. He was giving an example that we ought to be servants. That he is, yeah, he's the great master, but he bent down on his knees and he washed the feet of the disciples, and he washed Judas's feet, the one who would betray him. By the way, I believe that's a good little note that we ought to serve even those who don't like us and who hate us. And I believe that Jesus is our great example. And Jesus was setting an example of how to deal with the devil. And so let's get into the message this morning on how to deal with the devil. Now, if you'll look, if you will, I know Pastor mentioned this last week, but over in 1 John chapter 2, I want you to read, now keep your finger, of course, in Matthew chapter 4. We'll be coming back to that. But in 1 John chapter 2, we see the three ways that the devil tempts us. And we'll deal with those this morning, because the three things that are mentioned in 1 John are the three things that the devil uses against the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same things that he will use against us. And so in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, you'll notice the Bible says, for all that is in the world. That means this is it. This is it. You can't add to this list, in other words, is what the Holy Spirit is saying here. This is the list. There's three things that are in the world. Notice what he says. The lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So those three things are going to be things that you're going to deal with throughout your whole entire Christian life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are always going to be avenues that the devil's going to come. He's going to come in three different ways. He may come in all three of them. He may come in one this time and then the other, but he's always going to use these three avenues. I want you to notice, if you will, we'll deal with the lust of the flesh first. Back over in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it deals with the lust of the flesh. And it talks about how Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights, fasted. And the Bible says he hungered. But then if you'll notice in the last part of verse 2, and it says, and he was afterward and hungered. And then it says, and when the tempter came. So in other words, here he was. He fasted 40 days. He fasted 40 nights. He was hungry. And he comes down, and all of a sudden the devil comes to him whenever he's physically at his weakest point. By the way, the devil will do the same to you. He'll look for those weak spots in our flesh and try to attack in those areas. And notice what he says to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and when the tempter came to him, verse 3, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made what? Bread. Now, remember in your mind that Jesus is God. Don't ever forget that. Jesus was God in the flesh. But also don't forget that Jesus' flesh hurt. Don't forget that his flesh hungered. But I like this. The devil says, I know you're hungry. Why don't you make some bread out of these stones? Now I'll tell you what, you try to fast for 40 days. And you let me come over to your house with a Big Mac. Let's see how strong you are. I go half a day. I've gave this illustration before, but you know, we used to travel back and forth to Florida, to where we used to live, and between here and Florida, there's nothing. Mississippi, there's nothing. Louisiana, there's nothing. So when you find an exit, you better take it and you better eat. But as a man, I'm always looking for a better place. An easier exit, right? All the men should have said amen right there. All the wives should have said, honey, that was you. But it would be about 11:30 and my body starts getting hungry about 11:30 for lunch. And I remember we'd pass one and it would say, you know, the yucky places, you know, McDonald's and all those places. And I'd say, well, let's wait. There's got to be a better one. Right? So we just hammer down. We're going to Florida. Amen. We don't stop unless it's something good. Well, I've learned after 150 times of traveling between here and there is that you skip that exit, it may be a while. Here's what happens to me. Well, I said, I'm sure I'm hungry. It's 12:30 now. 1 o'clock. I'll take a truck stop at this point. Amen. Love's a gas station. You're like, they got to have hot dogs. Let's eat. Why? Because the flesh begins to just settle with the least. Why? Because after it hungers and after it begins to give up and says, hey, I'll take whatever, the devil says, hello, I'm here. You ever been tired, worked all week? All the problems seem to come when you're the tiredest. Amen. It's not on those weeks when you're rested up, you're spiritually, boy, you're ready. It's those weeks whenever you worked and you worked and you worked and you've dealt with problems, you dealt with problems and you dealt with problems, and the devil comes, hello. By the way, the devil doesn't come to you and say, hello, I am the devil. When he came to Eve in the garden, he was better than all the rest in the garden. I believe the devil's got that sweet voice sometimes. We give the devil a bad name by saying that he's red. Pastor said it last week, that he's red. He's got pointed ears and a pitchfork and a long pointed tail. I'll tell you what, I believe this. I believe the devil, as the Bible says, can appear as an angel of the light. And I believe we need to be careful, because here's what the Lord Jesus has given us as an example of, is that when we're physically at our weakest point, the devil's going to say, hello, I'm here. Are you hungry? Well, I'll feed you. By the way, the devil's so cunning, ain't he? He's so sly in the way that he approaches us. Matter of fact, I like over Matthew chapter 5, if you'll just look over there, verse 6. It says, blessed are they. Now, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples here and giving them the things that they're going to need to be a good disciple. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In other words, if you're hungry physically and thirsty physically, that you could be filled with anything. But he says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, he said, I'll fill that. Here's the thing, your hunger ought to always be not for worldly things, not for worldly gain, but it ought to be for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of Jesus Christ in our life. The lust of the flesh. You must keep the flesh in check because it's not saved. The flesh, as the Bible says, is weak. Matter of fact, the Bible says if you live in the flesh, it's impossible to please God with it. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot. You must keep the flesh in check. Then the second thing he deals with here is the pride of life. Notice verses 5 through 7. Aren't you glad Jesus said, hey, listen, man shall not live by bread alone. He says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm glad that Jesus said, you know what? My flesh may be hungry, but my spirit's hungrier. Amen? That's the way a Christian ought to be. Boy, my flesh is tired, but I'm going to church. My flesh is tired, but I'm going to Sunday school. My flesh is tired. It's weary, but I'm going to read my Bible. The second thing is pride of life. Verses 5 through 7, he says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. Whoa, wait a minute. He's taking him to where? Jesus doesn't, the devil don't take you to Sodom and Gomorrah to tempt you. Say amen. The devil can take you to church and tempt you. Amen. Somebody always said the devil has to come to church and somebody's got to bring him. Amen. Amen. Notice this, he takes him to the holy city and then he sits him on the pinnacle of the temple. Now, I was studying about this and they said the pinnacle of the temple would have been about 500 feet above the valley of Kidron, the Kidron Valley, which was the valley where the water gate would have been facing and where they would have received the water for the city. And so he set him up way up there. Now notice this. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. You say, what is this? How does this deal with the pride of life? Basically, here's what the devil was telling the Lord. If you're really the Son of God, show us. Prove it to us. Come on. Prove it. Jump off, and the angels will catch you. You know what? You know how that applies into our lives? The devil will come to you sometimes and say, you're really Christian? Are you really a Christian? Well, why don't you just prove that you're a Christian? Why aren't you doing what the Bible says you ought to be doing? You're not a Christian. And before long, he plays on our pride. And what happens is that he shows us all of our failures and how we failed the Lord and how we can't serve the Lord without falling. And sometimes that gets to us because we're prideful people. If we're not careful, our pride will well up in us. Here was Jesus sitting on the pinnacle of the temple. Let's just say if he was 500 feet above, and he says, I want you to jump down. And if you're really the Son of God, I know the angels from heaven will come and swoop you up and bear you up and set you down. You'll be all right. You know what? I believe if Jesus was not God and sinless, Jesus at this point would have said, you know what? I'm going to prove to him that I am. I am. But he didn't, because Jesus has not one inch of pride in him. Jesus was all about who? Others. For God so loved the world. Not that he loved his son. That's not what this verse said. It said that he loved the world, that he gave his son. Now, he loved his son, but he loved the world and he gave his son for us. Pride cometh before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16:18 says. Pride welling up inside of you is the way the devil will come and he'll use it. Hey, listen to me. You'll be sitting over there in your little cubicle at work. You'll look across the way at that nice office that your boss has over there, and you know what a scoundrel he is, amen, sometimes. And you'll be looking over there, I deserve that position. The old devil will say, you know what, you're so much better. You're better at whatever you're doing. Well, you sure can type a lot faster than he has no business skills. The devil will pride, he'll use that pride. The old devil will come and whisper in your ear, hello, you're better. You're better. Listen to me this morning. Is that pride of life has destroyed many of Christians. Why? Because people cannot handle pride. We cannot handle pride. Why? When we handle pride, we neglect our God because we become number one. Why did the devil fall? Because of goodness? No, he fell because of pride. He said, I will, I will, I will. Be careful with the pride of life. Pride is a handle that the devil will grab in your life and he'll use it to wreck your life and to ruin your life. So many times the devil comes to us and says, you could be something better if you wasn't a Christian. Devil ever come to you and say, hey, you realize how much tithe you're giving to the church? You realize how nice of a house you could live in? How big of a car you could drive? Amen? Well, yeah, I could. Boy, you start feeling good about yourself. Be careful. Be careful. Notice in verse 8, if you will, he deals with the lust of the eyes. Notice in verse 8, he says, and of course, verse 7, I need to read that one. He says, Jesus saith unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He says, you're not going to tempt me with pride. Because he doesn't have any pride in him. But verse 8, I like this because it starts off saying, again. You ever lived that week of agains? The devil's back again. It's Monday and he's back again. Tuesday, again. Wednesday, again. You know what he's doing? He's wearing you out. He's wearing you out because he knows that if he can keep beating on you and beating on you and beating on you, you'll finally open the door. I was telling Sunday school this morning, we have a little neighborhood boy who loves to play with Brody. And the little boy is persistent, trust me. The other day he's, ding dong. I was like, don't answer. I know who it is. It's neighbor he is. Ding dong. Everybody stay still. Treat them like Jehovah Witness. Amen. Don't get up. Turn the lights off. Don't you say a word. Mute the TV, everything else, you know. So he figured that the doorbell's not working, right? I'll tell you, he's persistent all the time. You know what happens when somebody knocks on your door long enough? Let me act the men's part. They're in the recliner with the remote. Amen? They keep knocking. What happens? Why? Because they got you aggravated. And then you open that door and say, what? Oh, hi, Pastor. We was just praying. Amen? We were just in the middle of a prayer meeting, you know, and the kids are going, Daddy was just fussing about the door. Why? Because you get it, I promise you, you go to your neighbor's house after church today and you start knocking. And you just keep knocking. I don't care if they're not home. They'll drive home just to open the door. Because you bug them long enough, they'll answer. And the devil knows that if he keeps being persistent. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, bring it on. One more time. Notice this. Again, the devil taketh him up. He said, well, maybe that pinnacle wasn't high enough. Maybe he couldn't see what I was wanting him to do. So he taketh him to a exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things, this is amazing, will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. In other words, he's playing on the lust of the eyes. He took him up to that high mountain so he could get a good look and he could see all the kingdoms, and not only the kingdoms, but he said the glory of them. In other words, look how rich these cities are, and the gold and all the animals that they have here and the green pastures. Look at all of it. I'm going to give it to you. Hell, this sounds like a car salesman, amen? Now look, I know you've seen this car. I'm going to give you the manager special. Hey, man, you know how they do. I'm going to go back and speak to my manager, see what I can do for you. That's basically what the devil done. He said, you've seen all this? I'm going to give it to you. By the way, the devil can do that to you too. He could show you those things that enter into your eye gate that will cause you to think, what if? If the devil can get you just to think, what if? He's got you. Oh, wow. Yeah, that is nice. Amen. You know how it is. Well, my neighbors sure do have a nice house. Boy, those people live, well, they must be right with God. Boy, look at that. Wow. Always something better on the other side. My pastor always told us, the grass is always greener on the septic tank. Amen. Amen. It has to get green from somewhere. Amen. Be careful. Be careful, just because the grass is greener doesn't mean you want to be there. Amen. You'll get yourself in a mess. Some of y'all got that, amen. You'll be in a stink the rest of your life. Amen. The lust of the eyes, and we must guard our eyes and against all that the devil wants to show us. But I thank God there was three weapons that the Lord used. He used the Spirit of God. He was led up into the Spirit, to the wilderness by the Spirit of God. He was led up there by God's Spirit. By the way, He gave us the Holy Spirit so we could use Him in the manner of using Him as a weapon against the devil. The Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. He used the Word of God. By the way, the Word of God is quick and is powerful. Matter of fact, can I tell you, it's still as powerful today as it was the first day that the Holy Spirit began to speak it. Amen? I believe this in all my heart. The Word of God is not used as a weapon as great as it should be. It is our greatest weapon, but yet it is neglected. I've always said this, and I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings, but most churches, if you went and took the preaching out of their service, they would still carry on. But in most churches, if you took the song service out, there'd be nobody there next Sunday. They ought to try that. They ought to try that in some churches. They ought to take the singing service out and see how many people would say, next Sunday we're just going to have preaching, and see how many people would come back. Because most of them are there just for the concert. But we're here because of the preaching of God's Word. Not because Michael Williams or Brother Eric Crawford's preaching, but because the Word of God is quick and it's powerful. And we need it to get a hold. We need to get a hold of the Word of God so we can use it against the devil. Because I'll tell you, the devil knew I was trying to study for this message the last 2 weeks. Guess what? The last 2 weeks, I've been buffeted on every side. But you know what? Every time I just go to the Word of God, and I cry out to the Spirit of God and say, "Please help me." But I like this. I believe all my heart. Notice if you will, verse 10. Notice this. He says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship." And then the Bible says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." You know what I believe the weapon was that Jesus used? I believe he used prayer. I believe before this even started, he was with the Father. Because 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. What do you think he was doing? Just sitting up there, not eating, not drinking? I believe he was talking to the Father. I believe he was talking to the Father. Can I give you these this morning? Here's how to deal with the devil. I'm done this morning. Number one, be ready. Be ready because you know he's going to come. Can I say to you, church, this morning, the devil is going to come to you this week. Be ready. You say, "Why? He's going to leave me alone this week. I'm on vacation." Yeah. Good luck with that. He is going to come. And you must have on the whole armor of God. How do you need to be ready? You need to be ready spiritually. Why? Because this is a spiritual battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. They're spiritual weapons that we use. We don't fight the devil in the flesh. You don't wrestle with him in your flesh. You wrestle with him in your spirit. Can I just encourage you as Christians this morning to be ready, to be walking in the Spirit, to be living in the Spirit? Because the Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Got to be ready. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that will take you by surprise, but the devil should never take you by surprise. You should never be sitting around going, "I didn't know the devil would come in and do like that." You ought to be ready. Be ready. The devil wants to come and he wants to deal with your pride of life. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God giveth grace unto the humble. Why? Because if you have a prideful spirit, he can't give you grace. You need grace every day of your life to be ready for the Lord, be ready for the devil to come. The lust of the eyes. The psalmist said in 101 verse 3, he said, "I shall not set any wicked thing before mine eyes." Basically, he's saying, is that don't put yourself in a position where your eyes have a chance to sin. Be careful what you look at. Be careful. I did this back whenever I was youth pastor at Lakeland Heritage, wherever it was, is that I always told the kids, this was my saying, listen to what you're listening to. They always look at me weird, but some of them that remember that, I'd say, sometimes we just listen to things, music, and we don't even realize really what we're listening to. Listen to what you're listening to and watch what you're watching. Be careful. Be careful what your eyes see. Be ready. But notice the second thing this morning, I believe the Lord Jesus was ready. He spent time on the mountain with the in the wilderness with the Father, preparing himself to go through this trial and to go through this temptation so he could say, "I know how you feel this morning." The Lord Jesus knows how you feel. He was tempted in all points like as we, but yet without sin. The Lord Jesus didn't sin one time. Never a sinful thought ever entered into the Lord Jesus' mind. Be ready. But the second thing this morning, how to deal with the devil, be right. Be right. Remember the old song, the Do-Right Family? None of y'all watch T-Haw. Amen. Do-right, do-right. Anyway, that was a Ray Stevens song, sorry. Not hee-haw. But if you read the book of Romans is basically tells you how to be right. And he gives us all the how to be justified, how to be sanctified, and all these things. But I like this. I like how the Bible says that we can be right if he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. In other words, we have no excuse for not being right with the Lord. By the way, when you're not right with God, that's when the devil sets in your life. And he puts an anchor down in your life and a stronghold down in your life and tries to get you to fall and tries to get you to sin and tries to get you discouraged, tries to get you bitter, tries to get you off track. Be right. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. You can never win against the devil when you're on the opposing side. When you're on his side. When you're on the devil's side, when you're on the devil's team, you can't win against the devil. Why? Because you're already on his team. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can never win anything spiritually. You're not going to win when Jesus comes back. You're not going to win when He comes back again and pronounces judgment upon this world. You're not going to win. Why? Because you're on the wrong team. You're on the losing team. You're on the team that's already in the books that says a loss. You're on the team that never can win. You say, how do I get on the winning team? You trust Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You got to get on the winning team. I like up in heaven, it says, winning score. Jesus won, the devil lost already. It's already been predicted. The devil's already lost. You got to be on the winning team. That's how you be right. But let me give you the last thing I'm done this morning. I had to look up how to spell this word and call my wife. But be resilient. I looked at that word resilient, and it basically means to rebound or recoil. In other words, when you get knocked back, you come back. When you fall, you rise up. When you fall, you rise up. Why? Because the devil's not going to come to you one time and bust you in the lip and say, I won. No, he's going to come back and he's going to fight and he's going to fight you and he's going to fight you, and you got to be resilient. I've seen it so many times. Christians, get rid of your white flags. We carry them around everywhere we go. Not these. But spiritual white flags. I heard my pastor say this many times. He says, you'll never have a divorce if you take divorce out of your vocabulary. He says, no matter how hard it gets, you take that word out of your vocabulary. Don't even think about it. Don't use that as a weapon. Now, I thought about this. We should never say, you know what, I can just quit. Christian life is just so hard. I'm going to quit. You know what, I believe this. If we treated Jesus like we treat our jobs, we'd be better at being Christians. Because you know what, it gets a little rough at work and you just don't walk in the boss's office and say, I quit, and walk out without a job. We ought to be resilient. We ought to be resilient and recoil and keep coming back and depending on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus will never surrender, and neither should you. Can I remind you this morning, the devil's going to come to you and say, hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hello? Hello? Are you there? You're going to be like, get away. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Okay. Yeah, good. He's gone. All right, here he's back. Hello? Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. All right, he's gone. Wait a minute, he's back. Over and over and over. Y'all know those kids that try to sell the candy bars? You're on a diet. Always. Little kid comes up to you. Can you buy a candy bar? No, sweetie, I'm on a diet. Here, just take some money. Sir, will you please buy a candy bar? Please, please. No, honey, I don't want a candy bar. Please buy a candy bar. I need a candy bar. Okay, hold on just a second. That's the way we do our kids, amen? Here you go. I'll take 12 of them. I'll take the whole box. Just so you'll leave me alone. Devil comes. Hello. Hello. The devil can't take your salvation away, but he sure can make you miserable. And he sure can make you where you're not profitable in your Christian life and make you where
You are just, as a Christian, you're put up on a shelf and never to be used. God, help us not to be that way. It's by the grace of God I am where I am today, and you too. You're in the right church this morning. If you're here, you're a visitor. You say, I didn't know what church to go to. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're at the right one. You know why? Because we're a devil-fighting church. And you know what? It's a little easier when you fight together. Sometimes you feel like, am I the only one? Pastor always tells me this. He says it's amazing how people come to his office and think they have a unique problem. Maybe you said that from the pulpit last week. They have a unique problem. Then the next people come in, they have the same problem, but they think it's a unique problem. We all have a problem, and it's called the devil. And I like church because church helps me regroup and refocus and recharge. So why? So I fight the devil again. You're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'm not saved. Can I tell you, there is a great Savior who went through all of this just so you could be saved. He went through all the temptations. He went through all the beatings and all of the scourging that he went through. He poured his blood out on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. He rose again. Why? Because of you. Because he loved you. That's why he done it. Because of L-O-V-E for you. You say, preacher, I'm here today. I know I'm saved. Well, hallelujah to that. Your eternal salvation is settled. Thank God for that. But when you sign up on the opposing team, the devil gets mad when you change management. Preached a message one time under new management. That was my life. I'm under new management now. Amen. I'm not living in the same old apartment I used to. Amen. I moved out. Matter of fact, when I moved out, I left all the old stuff behind in there. Amen. And I'm moving. My Bible says our conversation is in heaven. I'm now a citizen of heaven this morning. I'm a child of God. But whenever you sign up, whenever you get saved, the devil says, ooh, I don't like that. And he comes after you. He says, I know I can't take their salvation, but I can make them miserable. I can make them where they don't want to go to church, where they don't want to read their Bible, where they don't want to pray, where they don't like nothing about God. I hope you're not that one this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, you had your hand in your pocket before you came, and you had that white flag in your pocket, and you said, I'm going to give it one more try. This is it. This is my last-ditch effort. And all through the service this morning, you had your hand spiritually on that white flag. And you said, as soon as I walk out that door, I'm throwing the towel in, and I'm done. But I hope this morning, through the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, I hope you've let go of that towel and said, you know what, I'm going to go again. I'm going to be resilient. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. Why? Because your family's depending on you. Why? Because your mom and your daddy's depending on you. Why? Because God's depending on you this morning. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Father, we thank you. We love you. And Lord, I know that this morning the devil's probably already attacked some families here. I know that this morning, Lord, this week has been a rough week for maybe some folks here because of all they've gone through. But Lord, I'm so glad that you went through all this so you could come and come to the aid of us. And Lord, just love on us and understand, Lord, where we're at this morning because you're God. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning who maybe was going to throw in the towel. Lord, I pray they'd be resilient. God, just get back in the game. Lord, just sign back on. God, be faithful to you and to your house, to your word. Father, for those that are here this morning that are not saved, I pray, God, as we give the invitation, I pray, Lord, that you would just help them, give them courage and strength to step out of their pew and come down front and take somebody by the hand. And Lord, ask them how to be saved. And Lord, that they can enter the good team, the winning team. Father, I ask that you bless this invitation now in Christ's name.